You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold. Don't you
Ladies,
know you
gentlemen, people, I love you and welcome to my sexy podcast. Did you miss us? We were gone for a week. Did we trick you? Did you notice? Today I have potentially my most difficult guest yet. Also, he's got a penis. What has happened to the show? You kind of wanted this, Bat. You wanted to be on this podcast more than anything. Drew? I'm willy-nilly introducing you where I say,
maybe I should have given you something to say.
No. He's been on New Faces at Just for Laughs. He's passed at the Comedy Cellar. He's a hot commodity, and he's got his own podcast called I Might Be Wrong. Just side note from the author of this monologue, which is me, sometimes you are wrong. So I feel like you got an argument with our producer here, just sitting here for 5 minutes.
No way.
Yes.
You're a
tricky conundrum of a man.
Man.
You texted me so much to be on this podcast. What do you want? What do you want?
If you're going to bury me like that.
I'm not going to bury you, but I do have questions for you.
Oh, no, gladly. Okay. But can we be? I mean, look.
Happy
I'm already coming in as an adversary when you
I've
point
had
out
men
my gender.
I've had men on, but only Asian and only gay. I've never had just like a straight up white male power his way into this room. But you wanted to. You thought it would be a good idea, and I think it's a good idea because, yeah, why not?
I think I asked you when you were dry humping me on your couch.
This is what happens. So with straight men, I'm like overly accommodating.
Yeah.
So you were over and I was trying to prove how, you know. Yeah, I feel like we were actually talking about, you were talking about gay comics and what do you feel like the best way to play it is?
I don't even want to come off as, you know, it's not up to me. It really isn't, you know. The truth.
Now you're worried about the way you come off?
No. The truth is it's not, I was saying that to you before, like it's not, there's certain kinds of things that like for anything when it comes off as, I don't know, there's like a certain condescension or certain, like it doesn't give me any credit as an audience member.
No, I feel the same way. I mean, like it happens in any like marginalized or like smaller community than when you're like, I'm a comic and I'm a woman, or I'm a comic and I'm an Indian comic, or I'm a comic and I'm a gay comic. I could do this forever.
Yeah.
But like if you're just sort of mining for cheap laughs within that, it doesn't do anything good for anybody.
Right, you paint a straw man that like, yes, exists, but it's like, that's not, we're not that kind of thing where you kind of like...
Yes,
true. Oh, yeah.
But you texted me, okay, so
it's an uphill battle.
Part of also having you on is that people there, I've been talking on stage about feminism and how like the brand is getting kind of like willy nilly about like what our asks are, because ultimately we need to be united in what we want to like get anywhere. So people being like, don't wink at me. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, don't like get winked at. We don't want to get raped. That's what we want, you know?
Right.
So part of that bleeds into then there's also women that are saying, why, you know, things in the vein of, why doesn't Jerry Seinfeld have more women on his web series? And it's like, well, why don't I ever have a dick sitting across from, like, a man with a dick? I don't know why I shorthanded a man into it. Why
yeah,
don't
did.
I have man pussy sitting
yes.
on that chair? But like, why don't I ever have men on this podcast? And it's not because I haven't really branded it as a woman's podcast, but it so happens that I'm mostly interested in talking to women.
Yeah. But that's fine. I don't know.
I'm not going to
sit here and laugh. I don't know anything about... The thing is, like, when people do something, it's not like these people are all plugged into, like, the Illuminati patriarch, you know, agenda where they're like, I will enforce... It's just, I think everyone's acting that way.
What do you mean?
Well, like, so if someone like Seinfeld, I think it's the same.
Yeah,
I don't think he's
not,
thinking
there's
about
no
it.
Big, exactly.
Yeah, and it just
and
happens
so,
to be. So, like, I mean, then, but the people who are thinking about it are the people who, like, you know, are producers and this and that, who are sort of pandering to the public.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, so what's going to sell the most? You know, so a white guy
then,
talking about white guy things, there's the most white people
yeah,
in
yeah,
the country.
Yeah.
So, like, those are the people who are going to watch you know, they want to see like their own, everyone wants to see their own.
Yeah, and it happens in like not a white way, like when that woman from Selma sang that song and then at the Grammys they got Beyonce to do it, because it's like, no, she's a bigger name, you know, it's just like the way the cookie crumbles a bit.
I don't know if that's
completely parallel. Okay, so you live your life though as someone who comes on, like we're mutual friends, Lisa. But Lisa introduced me to you, and she was like so happy when we got along, because I feel like sometimes you you and Lisa both have strong personalities that come across. What's happening?
I don't know. I think I was talking to you, we were talking about this on the train.
Yeah.
Just the idea of like, if I'm in a situation where I vehemently feel a certain way and like, it would be easier for me to just go, yeah, well, you know, everyone's got,
there's just something in your brain that's like, you gotta let them know that Taylor Swift is not good. He was at our house at Sean and I's place. We were listening to all the hits, Taylor Swift, Drake.
It was music videos.
And this man was just like in a fucking, like almost coma style, or like, no, what is it when you're just looking down and like almost covering your ears? Like the picture in the airplane guide of what happens when you crash. That was what you look like when we were watching music videos. Like, I don't know these people and I will not know these people.
I just didn't. I was like,
but you also love not knowing the people.
I did enjoy it. Okay. I will admit that there is, but I don't go out of my way to not know it. I just kind of like that I don't.
I mean, there is a group of people.
I didn't know who, I couldn't recognize Taylor Swift. I couldn't recognize Bruno Mars, and I couldn't recognize Rihanna. I did not. I know those names, but like, I saw people on TV.
But Rihanna looked, for the record, it's the new video with the Beatle, Paul McCartney.
The Beatle?
With that Beatle.
I'm bad for not knowing Rihanna, but you call him the Beatle?
Yeah, it was purely a racial thing.
Got it.
Speaking of racial, good old-fashioned soccer kick sound effect.
Nice.
Guys, it is Wednesday. What are you up to? I'll tell you what I'm up to. Chilling, talking to Drew Michael. Not just a comic, but a man and a friend. What did it feel like when you got passed at the Comedy Cellar?
I didn't know that it happened. Like, I had no idea. Do you want to hear? I've never told this story to anybody.
Yeah,
but
please,
I feel like
me.
I could tell it.
Just, and for the backstory for the audience, like, Comedy Cellar is the club. Like, if you come to New York, you go to the Comedy Cellar. Stand Up New York is a wonderful club too, where we record this above Stand Up New York. But the Comedy Cellar is like the iconic
place that you want
to do stand up. And you can either do it or you can't. But there's a woman named Esty, and she's deciding, and you just want her to like you so bad. I haven't showcased for them yet, but ooh, baby. Tell me your story.
That was part of the reason that I moved to New York in the first place. Oh, I was saying, I feel like there's people who listen to this like, this guy, not he shouldn't work there. He's a fucking, you know, you've set people up to hate me already.
No!
This is a guy who fucking white
privileged
his way.
No, I had to address the argument that you had with John in the beginning. I was turning on my computer.
He's gone.
And then you, by the time I like opened up my laptop, you were like, I don't know, this guy is, and I'm like, this guy is a wonderful.
Yeah, you missed the joke. Why can't you just take responsibility?
We'll bring John in here later. Oh, Andrew's in here. Everybody, round of applause for Andrew.
What's up, Andrew?
I don't have an applause break sound effect. There we go. Andrew in the house. Okay, we got to get to this Comedy Cellar story without giving so many shout outs to all the production.
The Comedy Cellar was the reason, that was like, you know, big reason I moved to New York when I left Chicago. Like, I, you know, conceivably could have gone to LA. But New York was kind of where I wanted to go, and the Comedy Cellar was a reason for that, you know.
Tell me why.
I just had this idea of what the place kind of was.
Yeah.
Like, who kind of worked there and like what kind of stuff, you know, was done there. Like,
so
what
then
kind of...
tell me about the showcase.
Well, so, okay, I'll set it up. And so I ended up getting an audition.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like I was ready, and so I kind of pursued it and figured out a way to do it. And the auditions are, it's the late show on Friday. I think it's kind of like they're always that time. It's the, you go up second on the late show Friday.
Yeah.
And it's a 5-minute spot, normal spots there are 15, like anywhere else, but it's a 5-minute spot. So it's kind of in my head about that, because I'm not, I don't really like doing short. I feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's hard to condense things. Yeah, and then also like, feel loose.
Exactly. And, you can, and then every minute, every laugh, is there's so much more pressure on it.
I mean, is it not true that comedy is a fine balance between preparation and actual presence and those... This.
Yes, this is also, this is true.
Go on.
Great. This is wonderful.
Go on. So 5 minutes, you're like, oh shit, 5 minutes?
Yeah, so I was like, okay, and I had in my head like the material I was going to do, and so I started like cutting it down and figuring out what I was going to do for the five. And I was on. I was feeling really good about comedy. I was in one of those positions, you know, you, like you ride away for like a couple of days, a couple of weeks, like where you're just like, I'm locked in, I'm good to go. And I had a show Wednesday, and I didn't have a show Thursday, and then I had a show Friday, an early show Friday, and then I had the Cellar audition late.
Yeah.
So Wednesday came, I was like, okay, cool, the show is good. I'm in a good mood, but I didn't want to take a night off Thursday. So I actually found a spot. I texted Joe here at Stand Up New York, and I was like, hey, I want to run a set. Is there any way I can get like 5 or 10 minutes? And he said, yeah, come on by and do a guest spot.
You can't poke the table no more. You're ruining your story because you're hearing that poke.
Oh, my bad.
And that...
people just think it's one of your effects. You have a table tapping effect.
Stop poking the table.
Sorry, I'm like punctuating.
Okay, you're preparing, you're getting all these spots, and then...
Yeah, so I did this. So Thursday, I came by here.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'll run my shit.
Some drama better happen here, or I want to be at the Cellar.
And
bombed. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So now I'm like in my head, I'm like, fuck. And so I was like, okay, don't worry about it. Like Friday, I have an early show. I'll just get it together there, and then I'll go and do this at the Cellar. Didn't bomb. Did okay, which is almost worse than bombing. When they're like, we heard you. Just, we just think it's whatever. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. It's bombing. It's like, we hate you. We disagree. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if it's like, it's cute.
Oh, God.
That's worse. So I was like, fuck. And so I was like walking over to the Cellar, and then I stopped into Karma because sometimes they have like an open mic there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like they do shows there and stuff. So I walked into there, and they were doing some like show. So I didn't know, and I didn't know what the show was.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not gonna bother them. So I was about to leave, and the girl who runs the show was like, hey, where are you going? She thought I was like an audience person.
Yeah.
I was like, I gotta go. She's like, why don't you stay and hang out and watch the show?
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm a comic. Like, I'm going to do another spot. Like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And so she's like, oh, where are you going to do a spot? And I said, I'm going to do a spot at the Comedy Cellar. Yeah. That's what she said.
And that's what, that's how she reacted.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Word for word.
And so she put you up?
So she's like, oh, you want to do 5 minutes? I was like, oh, it's perfect. I'll run my 5 minutes, and then I'll go over there, and I'll be like loose as fuck. And so she put me up at the end of the show, and I could not have bombed harder.
Oh, shit. Okay. So then you go there with
and now I feel bad because it's like not even a good show.
Tiny penis.
Yeah, right. I was just like, fuck. And I stopped by another spot to like just hang out. And I was telling my friends about how I was like, I'm like toeing my head about this right now. Because there's all this weird stuff. Like there's a table in the back at the Comedy Cellar where you're like not supposed to go to. People were telling me don't go to the table. So I was just like,
it's
so
just
in my
like
head.
The more build up for any show, which is like,
it's a nightmare.
It took me forever to learn how to showcase properly, because the more build up, the more it's like, you'd be stupid not to realize that this is a big deal. So how do you treat that? And the best way to actually treat it is to like lose, you know, like just try to, I mean, like, take that importance of like, you're not going to fuck around. Of course, you're going to hunt for places to do your set. You're going to run your set. You definitely don't want to run to a situation where you don't know your set.
Yeah, right. I wanted to, but
you also wanted to be fun and
loose
and like
right.
feel like you're.
So I was super in my head. And looking back on it, you know, next time something like that happened, I think I probably would be better prepared for it, just like mentally. And
what
like
would
just,
you do different?
Just, I don't think I would worry at all.
Yeah.
Just because I think that, to me.
Well, that's what I kind of shifted was like before a showcase. I won't like strike my whole day now. I won't be like, no, I can't go to lunch and use my voice.
Right.
And personality.
You kind of just got to do your normal routine.
Yeah.
No, I think that's absolutely right. Just to stay loose, stay out of your head, stay fresh, and just stay sharp. You know, get sleep and all that, but don't stress about anything.
Are you at the Cellar this weekend?
Not this weekend. I'm there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So tonight?
No,
tomorrow.
Next.
What are we? Wednesday? Who am I?
Next week. I was there this week, but I'm
shortest,
not anymore.
Shortest music clips on today's episode.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really shortest. Just throws everything off and does nothing else.
Oh, God.
Wait, so there is an end to the story.
God, thank fucking God.
I know, you can't. Oh, nice.
Can't get the end of this God story.
Well, I was singing the actual words, God damn it. You played something that tugged at my heartstrings.
I know, it's subliminally, you think that the music is for no reason, but really, you're about to fucking give me your secrets.
So I mean,
if this story doesn't end with some sort of like hand job or...
There's no hand job.
Is there anything like exciting, hand job level excitement?
So I went there and I'm like super in my head, nervous. I got there like an hour early.
Wait, start the story from Stand Up New York again.
Bombed.
Okay, I'm kidding. Go to the comedy salon and tell me how you did.
I did fine. I did like a B.
You did a B?
A B.
Okay. And then they said that B...
Well, I don't know. So then she took me upstairs. And sat me down, and we exchanged like contact info. And she was like, "Yeah, start emailing me your avails." But that doesn't mean anything necessarily, because I've had bookers tell me that, and it means nothing.
Yeah.
You know, email me your avails, and they don't even respond.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And so everyone told me that was like a good sign that meant that I was passed. But she didn't say like you're passed, this or that.
And it
was
just passed, boo.
Yeah. And so I was like so fucked up over the whole like 2 days where I was in my head. I wasn't even, I'm not going to acknowledge him anymore. I wasn't even like excited. I was just kind of like drained, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I was happy. I felt relieved. But then the next morning, one of the girls from the show at Karma, friend requested me on Facebook. And so I accepted and I looked at her page just for a second to see like, you know, which one she was.
Yeah.
And the girl who ran the show.
You tell the story like I used to write a column and it would be all about the word count. And I'd be like, I'd like tell my point in like 200 words. But then I'd be like, fuck, I'm getting paid for 500 words. And I'd be like, well, then. Did I ruin our friendship? Did I ruin our chemistry? I feel like you can take it. I feel like you have knocked me. I feel that you can knock. I feel that we can knock. I feel we got the kind of friendship that we can knock.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm not taking any of this.
Okay, but the girl, so the girl friend.
So the girl posted, the girl posted on Facebook about how great her show at Karma was. And she was like, thanks everyone for coming out. You guys are the best. Oh, and also, how could I ever forget that guy who had a quote spot at the Cellar. Yeah, that's right. I fell for it. So
what?
I bombed so hard at her show.
That they were like, sure, you're going to the Cellar.
They don't even believe. They thought I was lying.
How does that happen with the same set that this person who's in comedy? This is a real question that I want to explore. How does it happen that you do the set? It's so intricate. It really is so intricate. I've been working on this. I mean, like, I just sort of, like, splooged out the thoughts from my feminist bit, but, like, it's so important the way that I say it's killed and it's bombed, and it's so important the way that I say certain things. What do you think?
It's context.
Yeah.
There are certain shows that are not real shows, and that's the thing. Nobody wants to believe that. No,
I hate when people start a show and it's like there's no one here. It's just like all
it's not
the
a show,
and
they're
one
like,
person's
and then,
girlfriend. It's
right.
Like, why are you doing this to us?
Right. So it's like some show like that. It's like you bomb, but you didn't really, because you can't really not bomb. Like some shows, it's like even if you kill, you bomb. Like you, like the laughs are weird and disjointed. It's not like when you watch stand up is a very specific thing. Like you watch like a special, and it's like, yeah, this is the rhythm of a stand up like
of
performance.
What, yeah, what
it's give and take. The audience is quiet and focused and dark and, you know, close together and full, and the focus is on you, and you're like doing your thing, and you know you can take pauses without worrying about being heckled or being them side chattering. You can, you know, there's like a whole thing to it.
Now that's like your egg timer when you're riffing.
Is
it not
I've
what
never
you wanted?
Been on a show where the deck was more stacked against me.
No, what?
We're gonna bring up the most difficult man in history.
But you're No, it's not a man. You know that I'm not like that.
Well, I said
you're sitting
I
right
said,
here.
Can I do your podcast?
No. Well,
you're
actually,
like,
I have a question for you, because Maria Bamford wrote that she's looking for female openers. Then you texted it to Lisa and I, and you're like, what the fuck? But, like, what do you...
No, I didn't. All right, we need to get a few things straight.
Okay.
One, I did not say what the fuck. I sent it to you because maybe you would want to do it.
Okay.
You dumb fuck.
Okay. I thought you
Jesus.
Meant
Jesus. I just sent you a picture of her tweet.
Uh-oh, baby girl caught in a little bit of a horsey wine.
Are you really like this, or are you playing it up for the show?
I'm playing it up for just, I think it's funny that you asked to be on the show. I think that you noticed that I only have girls and
I didn't. I've never listened to one episode. I just noticed that you had a podcast.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't, you are difficult, though. You don't roll with the punches of...
Like when you accuse me of,
perjury?
So when you accuse me of accusing Bamford that she was being sexist?
I just thought that's what you meant. I thought we were going to have a conversation about feminism from a male perspective. Sure. I didn't know if your perspective on her asking for female things was, something that we could have, we've got different perspectives on it. I just, I brought this dog to the studio...
You're trying to bait me into something. It's just not... If you want to get to stuff, we can talk about stuff,
okay,
but that's not where it is.
Okay, but that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
what is your perspective on feminism, on females, on women in comedy, on, what... I want to talk about it. And oftentimes, our opinions might run over each other, and that's how this conversation will be fun.
I don't really
I'm so nervous ever since you called me out for just doing a nice thing and me thinking that it was...
Yeah, I sent it to you and Lisa because I was like, hey, maybe you would want to open these shows.
Okay.
For like a great comic.
Okay,
but you know, I won't do that anymore.
I mean,
I'll just keep those to myself.
Am I being...
Yeah, Bamford was like, I need a funny woman, female comic.
I thought it was
going to
be like a Seinfeld. Okay, so
Milwaukee and Minnesota.
All right. Let's talk about ISIS because
that's
going to be easier.
Women who won't think this is some ulterior motive.
Well, you're just a different kind of guy.
I think it's all reputation where you're like, you're just assuming something. And it's like, when have I ever...
Because you're a neurotic one that has lots of opinions and has, just a...
Women in comedy, you want to hear my opinion on that?
Yeah.
I have no opinion.
You have no opinion?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care who's... If it makes me laugh, then it's funny. If it doesn't, then it's not.
Yes, of course. Good.
But we were talking about the kinds of things that, I can laugh at something I don't agree with. As we were talking about before, when, if someone goes up and says something horrible, I think part of the disconnect between comics and regular people is if I hear something horrible on stage, I know that there's a context behind it and it doesn't have to be somewhere I'm like, yep, that's right. I could still think it's funny.
Yeah.
Horrible things can make you laugh.
No, the Sarah Silverman effect, you mean? Whether it's in character or not, either way, you know that she's a good person. So if she's like, everybody should kill Asians,
I don't know, because I think I can even laugh at
if you
people
you can
who
even
are
laugh.
Sincere
oh, okay.
and they're wrong, but it's still funny to me.
Yeah, I mean, case in point, outside of comedy, in the show Empire, the guy who plays Lucius, you don't want Empire.
I don't watch anything. I just don't know.
I mean, at least we're not arguing. I was so nervous when we were arguing. I didn't
were you?
Know what to do. I just didn't. You know when you do something, you say something that's wrong, and I thought it was going to be a juicy. I thought you were going to be why is she
Why
would
she
do-
have women
yeah.
open? I can
no,
do it.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
It's her show.
I just
She's
thought,
famous.
I
she
thought,
can do whatever
listen,
wants.
Here's what I thought. I thought this is a perfect guy to argue jovially with, but then I brought up the wrong thing, and then I looked like a little squirrely-dirly. And then I played sound effects, and now I'm still leaning backwards and not forwards towards you. I'm terrified. But Lucius in Empire is a dick, okay? This man owns a, music. The context of it in the show is he owns this music empire. He's like a Jay-Z type, but the worst. And he owns a label, and he's going to give it to his sons, and he's making his family sort of fight over all the riches. But... The man himself, and he's a player and a liar and a killer and stuff. The man himself, I don't know his name.
Sound effects, Jesus.
Fuck you. I guess it's easy to be on the other side of a story, So the man himself is an abuser. He's had everyone who's married has a restraining order against him. He's beat women and it's gone to court. It's real. And I still like watching the show, and does it make him actually an even better representation of that character when it checks out in real life? I mean, maybe. I don't want to support people who are, abusers.
Well, that's an interesting thing, separating between an artist and their art You know, yeah, okay, so like with a performer.
Bill, I mean, the difference with like a Bill Cosby comparison would be like his jokes on stage is like everybody's happy with Jell-O topics.
Well, but you know? Okay, so the Cosby thing. I have a couple thoughts on the Cosby situation.
Yes, please give them to me because I'm sick of arguing.
Well, I'm actually going to defend. No.
You're going to defend him?
No.
Oh my
no.
God.
Where I think he like the thing he did. That was like truly like an insight into how crazy he was.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that he's very guilty of at least 50% of the things he's accused of, which is still
is
a monstrous number.
97 rapes.
It's crazy. So I'm going to assume he's not a good person.
Yeah.
So, and that he's done some really fucked up stuff with a lot of these women.
Yes.
You know, I'm just going to say, I'm just taking a conservative. You know, viewpoint, and that still paints him as a monster.
Yeah.
When he made the joke on stage, did you read about that? Where a girl walked by the stage, like, to go to the bar?
Yeah.
Out of the theater, and he said something like, carefully, you don't want to drink around me. And it's just like, oh, okay, you're, like, Dahmer level crazy.
What a fucking
like, that's only
monster.
Funny if the accusations against you are ludicrously untrue. It's the only way that that's funny. Yeah, right? Totally.
Yeah.
So when I heard about that,
but there's
I was
also
like,
a vintage clip of him being like, you take the Spanish fly and you put it in the drink
right,
and the girl
right.
loves you forever. And it's like, are
yeah,
you
yeah, there's
fucking
a Woody Allen made a movie about being in love with a high school girl.
Me?
So it's like, I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
So with that, I think the problem, the mistake that people make with situations like this, when there's sort of powerful people in powerful industries who are doing horrible shit,
yeah,
the reaction tends to be, oh, we need to stop that person. That person needs to be held accountable,
okay.
Which I think misses the point, which is that these
Maria
industry-
Bamford needs mail openers.
Maria Bamford, just let me open for you. I'm funny!
Yeah. Okay, what is it misses the point. I'm very actually interested in the point.
It misses the point. The point is that powerful industries, institutions like Hollywood, entertainment, the NFL,
the financial,
politics, Wall Street,
yeah.
Those kinds of things, they're set up and inherent in them is the ability to directly
monsters.
And indirectly protect the behavior of the people who are sort of, you know, moguls of that world, you know? I mean, you look at someone like Cosby and everyone says, oh, it's a good thing, but look at what happened. I mean, it took literally the entire world of women
yeah.
to accuse him, and then also a straight black
like,
male comic. I mean,
yeah.
Tina Fey was making jokes about it
yeah.
years before, and people had been coming out since, you know, it, for decades.
Yeah.
And what it finally took was someone to be undeniable about it, where it went viral and it was like, all right, we can't protect you anymore. And they still kind of are. I'm sure through back channels, there's people that he knows that are like
yeah.
trying to pull strings. But
do you
the
think
anything's
going to happen?
I think the popular opinion is so overwhelmingly against him, where it's
yeah.
kind of like the mob, or
he
it's like we gotta
already,
cut you loose, like
yeah.
you know, it's you know, we'll set you up with a nice severance, but like
he's gonna,
we've already made our money off of you. Cosby Show hasn't put out a new episode in 20 years.
Yeah,
you know?
So if you want to notoriously rape, you better be willing
years,
to put out quality sitcoms forever.
Yeah, but, I mean, so everyone gets up on that, which is fine. Yeah, fuck him. But then it's like people are still.
What about everybody that protected him?
And people are gonna still go see the X-Men movie.
Is he in the X-Men movie?
No, Bryan Singer is the director of the X-Men movie, who is a, you know, it's the same kind of deal, notorious sort of homosexual, borderline pedophile sex ring.
No.
Yeah. That shit, it shit's everywhere. I mean, you find it in politics, you find the shit in the NFL. The same with like Ben Roethlisberger, known rapist.
Who's Ben Roethlisberger?
He's a quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And he never, oh God, what a ironic name for the, you know, what I did there.
So
I heard the word stealer, and then he's a rapist, and I thought, wow. I mean, let me just take a moment to
E E L.
This is mystery sound effects. Oh, yes. You know what that means? It's time for Sabrina.
The show is sponsored to you by.
Oh, God. You got to lift up their spirits after making weird Steelers type comments. Speaking of lifting up spirits, we were talking about, I was on the nightly show talking about American Sniper, and we were talking about how you felt like the Rolling Stones dude didn't deliver. And I think that what ended up happening, some inside information, is that backstage, one of the Navy dudes came up to the Rolling Stones dude and said, this is, by the way, the Nightly Show is a panel show, so we were discussing the movie American Sniper and basically America's why is it so popular? Is it a good movie? Blah, 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 blah. A man from the Rolling Stones.
And the panel was like a military veteran, and then there was an actual sniper.
Yeah.
And there was you.
Who I was sitting right across from.
You?
And Lisa Traeger was very attracted to.
Yeah. He's a sexy dude.
Yeah.
You and then a columnist for Rolling Stone, journalist.
Yeah.
Who wrote a scathing
anti-American
Sniper critique or anti-Iraq war critique.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And what did you, because you...
And so that was the only episode of that I watched because you were on it.
Yeah,
and I thought you were great. You're super funny.
Thank you.
Charming as fuck.
Ooh, and we're getting back together.
Yeah, right.
I'm still like jittery after that.
Let me chop this dick off and get over there. So I felt like there was an imbalance in the show because the Rolling Stone guy, I forget his name...
Matt Taibbi, and the article is called "American Sniper is Almost Too Dumb to Criticize."
Right, and so he kind of was very backtracky on the show, and so you had two like ardent military people, you who kind of you don't really take any hard positions. You were
I did.
Mostly funny.
I said it was duck hunt for Iraqis, and I said that they didn't present any Iraqi perspective. Like, and I said to the guys, when you were out there, you must have met locals, you know, people
right.
like people of the land that
right,
actually just want peace.
Right. But that nothing
aren't
that
like,
was,
you know, and not every kid is hiding like a missile in his backpack.
Right. But nothing instigating. Like, it was not like they were like.
No, because that's also not what I wanted to do. We were talking about this, like how you can't sit in front of people who've fought, who've risked their lives, whether or not you agree with the goal. Ultimately, like, it's. I think it misses the point, there is no point in arguing with them about whether they were there for a noble cause.
Yeah, unless you were in private.
Yeah.
No, unless I'm saying only if you're in private. If you're on a show, then it's not about them. You're not trying to convince them of anything. You're now broadcasting your opinion. So this is a guy who wrote an article, had a very strong opinion about something.
He said, I saw American Sniper last night and hated it slightly less than I expected to, like most Clint Eastwood movies and like Clint Eastwood movies. I like them for the most part. I guess I'm not really. I really thought that I was doing a good, like, maybe gonna do a little producing and read from the article, but I'm not hitting any of the good things.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So, but he had this opportunity to sort of like vocalize those opinions and get them out, in a way that was, you know, watched.
He called it a PG-rated 2-hour cinematic diversion about a killing machine with a heart of gold.
Right.
Who slowly, very slowly, starts to feel bad after shooting enough women and children.
Right. So, and he said none of that on the show.
Yeah.
And so I've
thought
movie's about
politics are so ludicrous and idiotic that under normal circumstance it would be beneath criticism.
Right. So it's like, you know, kind of like standard screaming liberal stuff.
Yeah.
But he didn't say any of that on the show. So it was. I remember watching it and thinking, like, how would I handle that? Because you're right. You're sitting across from two people who are going to feel very strongly about something, and they actually, you know, were in physical danger.
Yeah.
So, like, there's, like, a lot of, you know, sort of personal attachment to that situation. So how would I have gone about it? Like, because I have very strong opinions on it. And how would I have done it in a way that was not going to anger anybody, or at least, like, offend them?
And what were the points that you would like to have said?
I don't know. So, like,
I'm going to turn this podcast into a Nightly Show open mic.
This is my audition.
You didn't like the episode about the way Barbie and body image? Come on down.
Yeah, put in the word. Oh, I actually talked to one of the producers about this. I had this conversation with him. But the first question they asked you guys was, why was American Sniper so popular? Why did it make so much money? And then so they're like, oh, well, it's just a good movie, you know, like this and that. And it's like, yeah, that's a reason it can make money. Clint Eastwood is a good director. He knows how to make a movie. He knows story. Like, I've seen a lot of his movies. And
I also said it was not good and that the woman in the movie was, like, just two-dimensional of, like, why are you going to war? And
it's
like,
I love you.
Because he's, like, saving the world
kiss
in the context
me.
Of this. Yeah, come back and
kiss me.
Shut the fuck
Dream
up.
Dream of kissing me. My lips
like,
will be
shooting.
The reason you come back.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
My lips
I
will be the
it.
Reason you come back.
Yeah. You'll just have like some
you didn't
weird
see
haunting.
It,
no, I didn't see
obviously,
it.
Obviously, like everything.
Yeah, but the thing is, it made record-breaking money. It didn't just like do pretty well. Like,
yeah.
Good weekend. It made record. It was the biggest open for a winter movie ever. So why is that the case? My theory was that 2 weeks before, I mean, there's already like a lot of like anti-Muslim pro-America mm-hmm. rhetoric in mm-hmm. the country and like daily stuff that like, you know, is just accepted. It's not even like weird.
Yeah,
kind of
it goes without
generally.
Saying that.
Yeah, like terrorists are Muslim in our mind. That's just, you know what I mean? Like that's insane, but that's just how it is here.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
the
how
brand,
people think
the
about
brand
it
is out of control. Islam has never been great at like bridging. You know that I come from like a Islamic background. Like my father was born and raised in Pakistan. Family of eight, so I've got seven uncles and aunts and that are they're all had arranged marriages. Like their life is Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So my perspective of Islam is very much like. I have a more educated perspective than most people. I think that because so I live in Williamsburg where there's a lot of Hasidic Jewish people. The problem when you pull yourself, you create a community and you pull it outside and basically say we care about each other. Like we, you know, we're exclusive. When you make your community exclusive, it is ultimately, it's going to create racism.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like yesterday I was biking and it's not us, it's them and
yeah,
us, you know?
Right. No, I would take issue with Islam for that.
Whenever you just like wear a uniform
Hasidic
that's like,
Jews
this is
that.
My, I'm
Jews
part
Jews in
of
general,
this.
I take issue with. Because that's my background and it's not even religious, it's not Orthodox or even conservative.
Oh, so you take issue with Jewish people in gen?
Yeah, for the same reason. Like, I'm not some... Like, I don't identify
but
as
like,
Jewish at all.
But I think Judaism has done the best job at... In terms of... just having a likable religion.
Nope, propaganda.
Propaganda?
Because you live in America.
I have cool Jewish friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's not...
It's like if everyone had cool Muslim friends...
Yeah, why don't you go... I mean, go ask the people...
And you know what the thing is, though? Judaism... Because Jewish people are still claim... Their Judaism, even if they're super moderate, like, you know, like educated, like, you know, evolved in terms and liberal in terms of their thinking and like embracing diversity.
Yeah, except
most
Israel,
people like for me. Yeah, no. I mean, like,
they
listen.
They become a hardline right-wing fascist when it comes to Israel, but then they're like, oh,
listen,
but, like,
I mean, like, you know, obviously, I think that, like, there can't be a way that I don't look at the Middle East with the kind of the color of my skin, and I clearly have, if we were going to talk about the Middle East, I clearly have opinions that are not happy. But at the same time, I don't know enough about it to like get deep into it. But I do. But anyway.
I mean, the recap basically is that Israel is a criminal state.
That yeah, I mean, displacing people is not ever gonna create not problems.
Yeah, and so what happens is you have like you have these moderate Jews who are just kind of I'm not really Jewish, but then when it comes to that, like I mean, these are people that I know, people that are in my family or that I've grew up with or whatever, and on that issue, then they're like, they're ardently supporting something that they wouldn't otherwise if like the names were neutral, if it was like country A and country B as opposed to Israel, Palestine, whatever.
Yeah, and I think that I mean, like, I can also just understand. I can understand that.
It is what it is. The point is that like so here in the U.S., like. Anti-Muslim rhetoric is accepted, and it's not even questioned.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, I maybe responsible because I don't claim, I'm not like Muslim comics, Sabrina Jalil. You know what I mean? Like, I think that people lose is along the way. I am not. I identify with Islam because it's I celebrate Eid. I'll like, you know, it's my family. But at the same time, I am not Muslim. So I am not now an example of someone you can't
who's
meet.
Muslim,
you can't meet
cool.
me and say, oh, Muslims are cool because, you know, it's like generally speaking. So I think basically what I think is for people,
well,
to, for
also...
people to think different about Islam, there's got to be more people that are. I'm not, and again, this is not like the end of this thought is not like it's up to Muslims to be, you know, like that whole thing that goes around where it's like until all the Muslims denounce the terrorism. It's like, yeah. No, we're not fucking terrorists. And like everything that every lesbian does doesn't represent me as a lesbian, you know?
Well, the other thing I was going to, so the point about that I was going to make about the movie was that 2 weeks before the movie came out, I think it was about 2 weeks, there was the attack on the Charlie Hebdo magazine building, like,
yeah.
The, you know, the 12 people were killed by what was, you know, very clearly a sort of a Muslim group.
Yeah.
And so there was the media was sort of like, you know, just overloaded with anti-Muslim, and like that's where all the calls for regular, you know, moderate Muslims to denounce these activities,
yeah, yeah,
came,
yeah,
from both Bill Maher and Rupert Murdoch, by the way. When those two are agreeing, it's like, oh, we're living in a George Orwell fucking
yeah.
nightmare. And so there was just nothing but anti-Muslim rhetoric. And then here's a movie where a very attractive white man is blowing the fuck out of their heads.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and
oh,
it was just like hate,
and it
hate
broke
porn.
The record. What a weird coincidence. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It wasn't some, it wasn't
it
the
was
Avengers.
Perfect.
It wasn't Batman Dark Knight 4. It was, there's no reason that that
I
should have been a record breaking movie. I get that it would still do well because it's
yeah,
a,
okay,
most
so,
war
so,
films do
so
well.
So the context amplified the success.
Of course. Absolutely. 100%. I can't agree with myself more.
Sabrina Jalees, everybody. Sabrina.
Yeah. Give it up. Is this from Divine?
You know what that means. It's time to call my mom. Yeah, I just had that clip pulled up, and really am interested in him saying my name.
Nice.
All right.
We're calling your mom now?
We're going to call my mom, yeah. Do you have any questions for my mom?
Oh, man.
You don't have to think of one until she's on the phone in 20 seconds. But really, we'll probably just check in with her, make sure she's okay. She wasn't on the last couple podcasts because she had some probs.
Is she all right?
A little bit sick. No, not shy. She's, you'll see. She has come out of her shell and she is ready to take over the pod.
Hello.
You're listening to My Sexy Podcast starring Ursula Fry. Ursula, how you doing, honey?
Not too bad. I'm not your honey.
Oh, shit. Did something change?
No.
You never, Mom, you never called, yeah, you never called people honey, baby.
We don't do that in Switzerland. We don't do that in Switzerland.
What do we do in Switzerland?
I don't know. We're just plain. Plain and
we're just plain. Nothing to look at here, folks.
I came here and I was
very neutral.
In a shoe store and complete strangers were calling me honey. I couldn't believe it.
Oh my God! Wait, was your wait? I thought you were an au pair. You were working at a shoe store.
Well, first
things
I was
aren't matching
pair,
up, Mom.
Yeah, then I was working in a shoe store. When I got rid of the au pair experience, which was awful, I worked in a shoe store in a German.
Was your au pair experience au pair shaped? God, I hate myself.
And you know what?
Myself.
That store was just next door where Samir used to live on Blue Deer, just opposite on the States.
Oh, yeah. I think now it's coming back to me.
Yeah.
Did you get a discount
yeah,
on
yeah.
shoes when you worked there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Do you think we could still use it?
That's
if you go, honey, babe, I used to work here, huh?
Company, too.
So today I have a man on my podcast.
Okay. You're supposed to give me the name.
His name is Drew Michael, and he's a really funny New York comic. He's from Chicago. I mean, I know this is not conventional, but do you have any questions for him off the top of your head?
Not really. Did you meet him when you went to Chicago? How was your Chicago experience?
Oh,
I mean,
Chicago was so
it.
Fun. There's okay, Chicago, first of all, I did three shows. One of them was just a bar show, and then the other two were at comedy clubs, The Laugh Factory and Up, and both of them were so fun, like 300 people, and
places.
People in Chicago love comedy.
Yeah, it's great.
Really? That's That's
yeah,
good.
And mom, this one lady in the front row, black lady named Joy, who like had lots of tude, you know, she was like not into when I came out, when I said I was gay. She kind of made a face. And I was like, what's up? And then I started talking to her, and she was just like, I'm not. She was like, not into it. But then by the end of the set, guess who came guess who came around and was kind of attracted to me? It was Joy. She was totally, like, her and her friends were laughing, giggling. And I was like, are you into me now? And she was. So, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
You converted it.
I converted her.
One.
Yeah, converted one, and about 35 to go. Do you think do you think that people your age now are affected by what's happening in the world in a way that they're less racist and homophobic? Or do you think that people are pretty much stuck in their ways? If they're racist, they're racist.
No, I think generally speaking, I guess they would be less, racist. Maybe my age is kind of the cutoff, you know.
I hate when I put that sound.
Some people would not be. I mean, the younger you go, I think the less racist, right? The more open to different things.
No? Yeah. And then geographically, yeah. I guess that was kind of a silly question. Do you love me?
Of course I do.
I'm going to call you for the next episode. It's going to be Lisa Traeger. Do you want to tease the topic that you're going to talk about on that episode?
I'm going to talk about Booba the Cat.
Oh, God. You sent me that email.
Booba the Cat.
Perfect. Okay, we can't hear. We can't wait. Why would I read it when I could?
Isn't
that amazing? I am waiting to hear it from your lips.
It's an amazing story, Bina.
All right. So tune in next week for Booba the Cat. Love you, Mom.
Love you, too. Bye.
Bye.
That was so nice.
It was nice.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do anything, but
I know. I tried to include you, but you, generally speaking, we can't include other
people.
Well,
because she can't hear me.
She can't hear you.
It's a horrible setup.
Yeah, she like gets nervous about pronouncing people's names.
You got to patch her in.
She's always got like an internet tale that she like Booba the Cat is going to be some fucking
cat.
It's going to be some fucking cat that like the guy had cancer and then the cat sat with him every day and then they cured the cancer or something. No, she's not. It's never unrealistic. It's always actually inspirational. So it's going to be, I mean, I don't know. Booba the Cat. Booba the Cat next week. Drew, where can we find you?
I'll be sitting here for the next one.
Ooh.
Just my website, drewmichael.com. You can follow me on Twitter at drewmichael.
And you can catch me.
We
catch me
in the middle of a huge thing, but that's fine.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I feel no closure to that whole discussion.
Go ahead.
No, but it's no time.
Go ahead.
You're the weirdest person I know.
All right. Well, I mean, if you want to put a cap, do you feel like you've got a point that you can get to? Do you feel like you can make it concise?
No, that's why I'm not on TV.
Oh, fuck you.
It's true.
You're what?
It's why I'm not on TV.
Well, not
concision. It's all about concision.
Sound bites.
Yep. Sabrina smacks down.
No, that's not what happened. I think that we did a good thing. And I think that you proved me to be a dildo at one point. There's going to be a point. On SoundCloud, you can comment. And there's going to be a point exactly at that point where someone's going to be like, what a fucking dildo, dyke. And they're going to be right.
Oh,
you know, in that
about
moment,
you?
About me in that moment when I was like trying to be like, so when you sent me that Maria Bamford, and you're like,
well,
bitch, I was looking
out
for you.
What's even crazier is that we've gone the last, that was 3 weeks ago.
I was
saying the last 3 weeks you just believed that? That I sent you this text? What happened? Yeah, she was like, I want funny females to open my show.
We cannot
so tweet
go through this again.
Links
we
at
cannot.
Me. And I just screen capped it and texted
to
you.
Have to shut the door on this. We're done.
I just want people to know what the thing is.
Goodbye.
All right. I think I asked you when you were dry humping me on your couch.
Why my heart ache and I'll go fooling around and chasing old mistakes. You'll be screaming.